relaxing most of my days. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool and all, shooting some ball outside of the school. When a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. I got in one little fight and my mom got scared and said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air." Suitcase to send me on my way. She gave me a kiss and then she gave me my ticket. I put my Walkman on and said I might as well kick it. First class, yo, this is bad. Drinking orange juice out of a champagne glass. Is this what the people of Bel Air living like? This might be alright. But wait, I hear the prissy bourgeois and all that. Is this the type of place that they just send this cool cat? I don't think so. I'll see when I get there. I hope they're prepared for the Prince of Bel Air. There was a dude look like a cop standing there with my name out. I ain't trying to get arrested yet, I just got here. I sprang with the quickness like lightning disappeared. I whistled for a cab and when it came near, the license plate had crashed in a dice in the mirror. If anything, I could say that this cab was rare, but I thought, man, forget it, yo, home to Bel Air. About 7 or 8 and I yelled to the cabbie, "Yo, home, smell you later." Looked in my kingdom, I was finally there, to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel Air.
Radio Australia is a proud member of the FNX network. You can find this show and many more at fnx.network. That's the new URL, fnx.network.
Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Brian Alvarez, and you are listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
This is the voice of explosive pro wrestling, me, Dean Olsen.
Hey, this is the king of the mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Robbie Eagles.
This is the loosest in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is 5 times the world heavyweight champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Ryan Adam Pearce, and you are locked in to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Hey, it's Killian English.
Yeah, I got the beat. So let's bring the heat.
Welcome to the show. My name is Josh Armour. Thanks, as always, for downloading Wrestle Radio Australia. If it's your first time here, thank you for checking it out. As always, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and fnx.network. That's fnx.network. Our great partners over there. Now, today we're doing something a little different. We haven't done this for a while. Lately, it's been a lot of interviews with Australian wrestling talent and getting the products out there, but today we're going old school and we've got a very special guest. He's the co-host of this show, but he's been on hiatus. He is back, the beast, Todd Eastman. Dude,
relegated to guest now. Wow.
Well, I mean, you know, it has been a while, but you're still tearing it up with world-class Chris Basso in RCW.
Yes, indeed. That's partially why I've been away for so long, and that and other things, and bowlers, and just very busy lately, so.
That's it, the big bowlers, podcast, of course, you can find here on fnx.network. And of course, yeah, Big Ballers podcast, you know, there's always cool little songs there. The guys are churning out hits, it seems, every week, every fortnight on the Big Ballers podcast. And the
boys are prolific, what can I say?
Well, hey, you know, we're going to see some arias coming the Big Ballers way fairly time soon. But to honour your return to the show and pretty much taking charge, you've got the rundown set, you're all ready to go. I thought, why not bring some musical magic for you, the Beast, Todd Eastman.
Beast. Beast.
The Beast is back indeed.
Oh, water sports. Hello. Shit.
What's going on?
And now everybody's going to be put to sleep now that the Beast is back, I think. This is Nine-Eyes music.
Welcome. Yeah, sorry for the interruption. We'll return you to Reg's Gaming Program in a few minutes.
On WRA FM. Oh, jeez. Oh, we're all over it. We've got the beats cranking.
At least when I do my cuts on the show, they're clean. Clean edits. Yeah, come on, man.
Who's in post making them sound yeah. So? Anyway, let's not ruin the podcast magic. You're back, and we're going to be talking WWE, a bit of TNA, and all that sort of jazz. Folks, I actually did watch TNA from last week. I got a hold of the episode, had a look, and I really enjoyed it. So there's a little teaser there, little carrot dangling.
The tables have somewhat turned, sir.
It's incredible.
I haven't watched TNA for a few weeks now. So the tables have definitely turned there.
But you'll have to inform me
of what's going on, because I have no idea.
I'll give you the lowdown, and I was actually quite surprised and quite impressed, so we'll get into that. But what do you want to kick off with here today, Beast?
Well, we always kick off with WWE, so let's do that. Hit the old music if you've got it still.
All right, there's the button.
Did you just make a button press in place?
The buttons are big here, they're ancient.
Okay. Fair enough, then. All right, we have...
They're almost crank handles, they're that old, but anyway.
We have Extreme Rules coming up on Monday, and we'll do a quick rundown of the matches that have been announced so far. Roman Reigns versus The Big Show in a Last Man Standing match. Yeah, I can't really say, but Roman's really taking a hit here with this match, but we'll move on to the next one. Sheamus against Dolph Ziggler in a Kiss My Arse match.
Kiss Me Arse, I think.
Nikki Bella versus Naomi now for the Divas Championship. I don't quite know what happened with Paige in that deal, but Naomi has now taken the role, and it looks like it's heel versus heel for the Divas title, which is weird. I don't know why they would have done that, but we'll find out, I guess, in the upcoming days or so. Daniel Bryan may be taking on Bad News Barrett for the Intercontinental title. There's a bit of a story developing about that. WWE confirmed last week that Bryan was injured, or semi-concussed, I think it was, on the April 9th live event in Dublin, Ireland, when he teamed with Dolph and Eric Rowan against Sheamus, Bray, and Bad News Barrett. Apparently, he was sent home from that tour to be checked out by doctors in the States.
Did he cop a blow from Sheamus there? Is that what the go was? Because I know Dolph Ziggler tweeted something about Sheamus later on, saying how he was something to do with him being unprofessional or something like that.
That's the rumor that's going around. Yes. The first estimate was that he would be out for a month. Short time frame's a good indication, though, because it means there wasn't an issue with his neck, which people were fearing. It remains to be seen, though, how much ring time he will miss. The WWE did actually say on Raw that Bryan might be unable to defend his title against Bad News Barrett this Sunday, so we're not too sure what's going on. So keep it tuned. I guess it's the only time you really, really have to watch SmackDown to see if anything changes in the short term. We'll move from there to Cena versus Rusev in a Russian chain match for the US Championship. It's basically a strap match, but with chain, the way it was explained on Raw. And in the main event, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton in a cage match where the RKO is banned for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and Kane is the... What did Hunter call him? Are you there, sir?
I'm just trying to think of when and where. I don't pay that close attention to...
Was he like the keeper of the cage or defender of the cage or something like that?
That's right, the Guardian of the Gate.
Yeah, Guardian of the Gate. There you go. I knew it was something that rhymed. So, yes. You know, you don't know me. You don't know that I'm all about rhyming now. I've started rhyming, sir, so watch out for that on RCW shows.
Look out.
And speaking of, like, Daniel Bryan and concussions, there are actual reports going around that the WWE have banned the use of the curb stomp, and Seth Rollins will no longer be using it as his finisher. Now, these reports are unconfirmed at this point, but during Monday Night Raw, he did try a new finisher in his match with Dolph Ziggler. It was like a front-falling DDT, I believe.
Yeah, I know Meltzer a couple of days ago was saying that it hasn't actually been banned, that it's just he's using a different move. But even in, you know, in storyline, if that move won Seth Rollins the world title, wouldn't you think he'd keep doing it? So it's a bit weird, do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of the move he used anyway. It looks like a transitional move. Like, the curb stomp looks like a finisher.
Yeah.
It looks like something, but that front face falling DDT just looks like a variation of the DDT, and no one's really used that as a finisher in God knows how long.
No, Dean Ambrose sort of does, but it's more of it's just one of his moves, really. It's not a finisher.
His dirty deeds is, but it's like that's at least got some impact to it. Do you know what I mean? There's no real impact in the way that Seth had been hitting, well, the way that he hit it on Ziggler anyway, and we all know how Ziggler bumps, so if anyone was going to bump it like a maniac, it would have been him.
Yeah.
So, we'll go through quickly. Do you think Seth will retain? Well, obviously, you probably do.
Yeah, he'll hang on to that for, I think, at least until around SummerSlam, he'll have that belt, so...
Yeah, Cena and Rusev. This was an interesting one. I don't know. I'm not too sure, to be honest with you.
I could see Cena getting... I mean, it's very, very rare that Cena loses those type of stipulation blow-off matches in feuds. You know, we've seen it all throughout the years when it comes to that street fight match or, you know, that real big sort of brawling type, you know, or back in the day it would be a blood fest. I guess now that's not so much the case, but I can't see him losing it. So, that said, the way they do, you know, their sort of even-steven type of booking, you could see them giving Rusev that big win against him, you know. Cena's going to hang on to the belt for a bit, I think.
But if Cena does beat Rusev, how much does that devalue Rusev in the long run?
I don't think it does much at all, because it's John Cena, you know, so... You're losing to a 15-time world champ, so it's not like he's losing to Fandango, you know what I mean?
I know. But I also know that once the guys, they lose to John Cena, it's like there's not really another way up for some guys.
Unless he does end up going for the strap against someone like, I mean, even if Roman Reigns was, say, to get a reign, or who knows, you might see Rusev end up going for the IC belt then, you know what I mean? And you never know how they're going to go with it, but it's really hard to... The problem I have these days with watching Raw is that I can sort of sit there and get... Since WrestleMania, I guess I've been more in the mode to try and get through the show, but I don't care... If that makes sense, you know, I'm watching it because I'm watching it. It's wrestling. It's you know, WWE Raw. But I don't sit there and go like, all right, I hope that this angle plays out this way for this guy, or that this guy ends up with it. I've just lost that just that emotional attachment to any of the characters, you know. And months ago when we were sitting here talking about this sort of stuff, you know, I was writing to Dean Ambrose and really, like, just thought, okay, he's going to be the next sort of guy to get up there. And even Roman Reigns, but the stupid material that they gave him with promos and matches with Kane and Big Show, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to care when they're going against guys like that.
He is getting a lot better with his promos, though.
I think it's... They're turning him into Cena 2.0, and he should just be a beast out there kicking dudes' asses, and instead of that, he's, you know...
It's hard to have that beast out there when they've already got a beast.
Yeah, true, but at the same time, I mean, that's how you build guys up, is by having, you know, what's going to happen when the two beasts collide. I mean, that's how you build to a big match and get a baby face over, you know, is have them actually, I don't know, there's nothing there for me with him, so, but,
I guess
rant number one.
Yeah, if Daniel Bryan takes on Bad News Barrett, I dare say he would go over on that one. I don't know how that will affect Barrett in the long run.
Oh, look, he's been in that same sort of mire where he's been pushed and then he's not and then he is and then he isn't.
To be fair, though, I mean, and this is the same with Daniel Bryan, it's hard for a company to want to get behind a guy that's constantly injured.
But you see, that's where you've got a guy like him that, okay, fine, if you're worried about him constantly being injured, putting titles on him, pushing him, making him a number three, number four, even a number five guy in the promotion or on the show, whether it's SmackDown, Raw, whatever, fine. The guy can talk. He's charismatic. Have him hosting one of these bloody shows on the network instead of Corey fucking Graves. You know what I mean? We're hosting some show that you could not give two shits about. It's, you know, and that's another spot they're missing the ball on, is WWE shows.
You also know why Corey Graves has got that gig. I mean, the dude can't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, at least the WWE owner's going, look, you can't wrestle, bugger off. They're finding it something for him to... And you can't... He's not a bad commentator in NXT either. I don't mind him.
I think he's the shit, but...
I don't mind him. He's like dude that's learning, and it's... I don't mind him, to be honest with you. He's just got to find his feet in that role. It takes guys a little time sometimes, and that's what NXT is all about.
Yeah, true, but I just... Again, he's one of those people that they've just... I don't know. They're miscast. Anyway, go on with the preview.
In my mind, really, at WrestleMania, they should have given the belt to Ambrose, because he would have got more mileage out of it, and he'd get more over if that's possible. And dude doesn't seem to get injured that often, so that's just my two cents.
Well, I thought Daniel Bryan was a good pick to win that belt, but you know, again, the injury thing, like, it's just a shame. Yeah,
he's a good pick, but this whole case here. And even though it's just a concussion and it's a freak accident and it can happen, that's one of the very reasons why he didn't get pushed up into that main event for WrestleMania. Because you just can't put that much money and promotion behind a guy when you don't know if next week he's going to go down with an injury.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. Nikki Bella versus Naomi for the Divas title.
I think Naomi would be good.
I don't mind her work, to be honest with you. She's gotten a lot better.
I think even, you know, with the New Day being as comically bad as they are, I think it'd be cool to have even though she's a heel, and probably going to play the bully for a couple of months, you know, she's at least a black role model, you know, that's up there in the ranks. So I'm all for that. They need more ethnicity, I think, in the top picture. So I'm all for that. That's a good thing.
Sheamus and Ziggler, kiss me or as much.
It'd be just like Ziggler to get buried here and have him kiss his ass, but... Yeah, I think Ziggler will get the win just because it'd be funny. I think, you know, Sheamus has proven he can do that comedic sort of stuff, and even though he's better as the killer he's been the last few weeks, they might get some chuckles in here. So
Ziggler for
the win.
I disagree with him this one. I think Sheamus is his big comeback match of sorts, and I think he'll win this one. Okay. Reigns and Show. I think, of course, Reigns is going to go over in that one. No big mystery there. And also the WWE tag team titles are on the line with Cesaro and Kid taking on New Day Sucks. So, and they really have. They missed the boat with New Day. I mean, they're just starting now to try and turn them heel, but that's because the crowd has already turned on them. I mean, if they'd have come in with the gimmick that originally they looked like they were coming in with, I think it might have gotten over, but I don't know if it's past the point of no return, but it's very close, and the signposts are up.
It's funny the way that came about with them sort of banging the, you know, smacking the top turnbuckle, and I think it was the crowd at WrestleMania, a crowd at Raw after WrestleMania, rather, and they were sort of chanting the New Day Sucks, and it was so funny how they kept going along with the, like, they were smacking the turnbuckle along with the chant.
They did
and
that
it was
three,
just so
that
comical.
New Day Sucks.
Now it's like the gimmick, but that first Raw after Mania, it was so funny how the crowd just turned on them, and they kept doing it. It was like it was almost like they knew themselves, like, yeah, this is going nowhere. Let's go along with it.
But, yeah. But really, they need to ditch the fluoro-coloured gear. They need to get into some dark stuff. They need to start getting mad. Somebody posted up a mix-up video on YouTube, and it was Reverend Devon was leading the New Day. And it actually looked pretty cool.
Ah, yes, that would work. I think that would actually work if you did that. And flip them heel.
Yes.
Like, I'm being serious. Like, it would actually, it'd be something different. But have Devon there to be able to, I guess, sort of give him the rub, if you could call it that, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But the problem is, Devon comes in, he'll have to come in as a face, because the crowd will pop massively for him. Like they did his brother at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you'd have to orchestrate something there where...
Yeah. Latest on Samoa Joe signing with the WWE. As of now, Samoa Joe will be starting with the WWE in June. Don't actually know where he'll be starting, if it will be developmental or the main roster. I dare say it's NXT, because I think everyone now has to go to NXT. It's just the way they do stuff.
And it's Jimmy Jacobs who got the role in creative.
Yes. So, yes, he did.
So, because I thought for a while there, is Joe going to be... They said Joe was signed, but I didn't know if he was going there as a trainer. I just knew that he was going to NXT, but it turns out that, yeah, he's actually going to be on the, you know, there for a spot, hopefully. So, good times.
Yeah, well, I mean, it looks like that they're trying to have some different body types in, thank God.
Yeah, so. Not everyone's the Calvin Klein model anymore, which is good.
And not everyone's also... Yuha Nation, so...
That guy's a beast!
Yeah, so he's just started with in NXT Developmental as well, so we should be seeing him in the next few months, I guess. WWE is also set to push two divas. Apparently they're planning big pushes on both Lana and Eva Marie. Hold your breath. Though Marie...
No!
Marie has been training with Brian Kendrick in NXT, so hopefully she'll be better than when she was there the first time.
Oh, God.
You were talking about shows on the WWE Network where they're not really doing much and that sort of stuff. Mick Foley is taping his one-man show, Cheap Pops, for the WWE Network. It will be the PG version of the show, but he will apparently be dropping at least one F-bomb.
I think there's one story that he does have in his show that it's like it's absolutely necessary. So perhaps they'll just bleep it, but yeah.
And that's being recorded at Full Sail, so you can imagine the crowd they're going to get for that.
Oh, hello, that'd be great. And Stephanie McMahon, she's doing a Jericho podcast. No, I didn't like the Cena one just because it was old stories just rehashed, you know. It was sort of like, it was almost like when, you know, Steve Austin, he'll appear on different shows, whether it's MLW, whether it's like Jim Cornette's show, you name it, you know, any sort of other podcast. And sure enough, he brings up the same exact stories every time. It's like, I said to him, oh, boom, boom, my God, I've got an idea for
for a t-shirt, you know, so I gave him the idea for a t-shirt, you know. And then there's the thing about you know, just he tends to repeat the same sort of stuff, and that's what I found with the Cena one. But what do you think the Stephanie McMahon podcast would be like? Do you think that he'll ask her the hard-hitting questions, or do you think it'll all just be like Andre the Giant stories and saying how great her dad is for an hour?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be. I think if Austin was the one that was doing these podcasts, it would be totally different.
Yeah.
But I think Jericho is very much the company guy. He won't ask the questions that might get him in trouble. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Whereas, that's what I thought with Cena as well. Like, he went there with the steroid thing, but he gave the same answer that he's given before.
And it was I actually didn't mind the Cena interview, to be honest with you. It showed... and it's probably booked to show that, but it showed that he was quite happy to, like, if they said that he had to go heel, he was quite happy to do it. But he made a very good point where he said, I'm fine, I'm quite happy to go heel. Who's going to do all the stuff with the kids that I'm doing now?
Yeah.
As soon as someone else was going to do that and wants to do that, I'm quite happy to, I'll turn heel tomorrow. Like he said with the match against The Rock, he had new gear, new music, everything ready to turn heel. And the last minute they didn't do it. So I thought it was different. It showed a different side to John that I already like the guy because just his work ethic and just doesn't even... He can't help the way he's booked.
Yeah.
He just goes out there and does his job. And that's what I keep saying to fans that go... Especially the fans that really, like, cracked in on Roman Reigns. I'm like, do you think he really... Then just the audacity of them saying, oh, well, he should have turned down the main event. Would you turn down a main event? Would you honestly go up to Vince and go, oh, look, I'm not ready for a main event. I'm just not ready for that. Because you would never see a main event again.
Yeah, that's it. And to be honest, like, I haven't been the biggest Cena fan over the last few years, but his matches lately have been, especially his pay-per-view matches, and even the ones he's had, like, on Raw against Ambrose, like, they've been probably the best matches I've seen. You know, for some time. And that, you know, as far as John Cena matches. So I got nothing against him, specifically him, but I like the fact that he's done what he's done with that US title now. He's still up there, and he's still one of the main segments on the show. But, you know what I mean? He's still giving that spotlight to others, you know, to the Rollins and all that sort of crew. So it's...
Yeah, the whole Cena kicks out at two thing. Well, for a lot of this year, a lot of the past year, he didn't kick out at two. He lost a lot of matches on pay-per-views last year. Mainly all the time to Brock Lesnar, but he still lost them.
So. One thing that just drives me nuts is when he's looking up at the referees, he's giving the count, and it's like one, two, and you can see him looking at the referee, and he's like, you know he's going to kick out. And even though it's John Cena, most of the time, yeah, most of the time he wins, but it's little things like that, you know, and then of course the calling spots, you know, quite audibly, but yeah, like, just little things like that sort of can take you out of it. And the announcing's been shocking lately. Oh boy, it's been pretty bad. But
I'm an ardent hater of Booker T in the commentary. I cannot stand him. Cannot stand him on commentary, to be honest with you. So yeah,
not a fan of the shucky ducky quack quack.
No, he doesn't add anything, to be honest with you. If anything, he detracts.
And okay, let's. What would be your dream? What would be your commentary team now for Roy? Of all the people that are around, who would you put in there? And you can take legends, like you can take Renee Young, like you can take whoever you want. Who would you put in there? The three.
Well, that was the rumor was they were thinking of trying Renee Young. When they did the whole angle with Cole, when Cole got injured by Brock, that was the angle was they thought about doing. Is putting Renee Young in that spot, but having a girl commentate on her own on Raw, I think, was just too much for Vince to handle, and they backed out of it.
I mean, she'd bloody carry Byron Saxton even if you put her out there with him.
Yeah, she is. She is brilliant. Who would I have? Honestly, I love Dusty, but Dusty, I couldn't tell you what he'd be like nowadays to actually commentate. I don't mind Jason Albert, to be honest with you. From NXT, I really enjoy his commentary, and that Todd Phillips, don't mind him either. Great name.
I don't know. I'd go Albert before I would Tom Phillips.
I'm saying as a team. Scrap the three of them. I'd have those two, and possibly I don't know who else. Someone. It's so hard though because I'm sure people do know, but they've got Vince in their ear constantly telling them what to say. So it's so hard. It would be so hard to try and get your personality out there when you've constantly got somebody telling you what your personality is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't envy those guys at all. if people are feeding Booker T his lines, they need to be shot because he is terrible. He just interrupts. Sometimes when you see him try to put over something, he'll out of nowhere just try to make it about himself. Like that whole Tough Enough thing. Did you watch the show on Tuesday, didn't you?
I did, yeah, but I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, they were trying to pump the Tough Enough thing, and all of a sudden he's out there on his phone going, oh, I'm just waiting to see if I get a phone call or something, if I'm part of the show this year. I was like, it's not about you, dude.
He's, I just find that he tends to say things that are really stupid and patronising, and I just friggin' hate that about his commentary. I think it's, you know... You say things like with WWE Network, $9.99, it's basic economics, you know what I mean? Like, rah, rah, and I'm just like, you know, some people don't actually have high-speed internet. Some countries still don't have access to the network, like easy access to it, you know, without unblocking their friggin' IP. And it's just things like that where he just does not think before he speaks, you know what I mean? And hey, I'm guilty of that. But when you're out there and you're broadcasting to people, it's like, geez, dude, think of what you're bloody saying before you actually spit it out there, you know? There's millions of potential customers out there, you know what I mean? It's just blows my mind, some of the shit that comes out of his mouth. But anyway.
Do you want to speak a bit about Tough Enough?
If you like, yeah. I mean, we don't know who's hosting it yet, do we?
No, we don't know anything about it just yet, except for the fact that they're accepting submissions from everywhere. What do they have to do? They have to, like, hashtag Tough Enough or something?
Yeah, and there's also, I think there's a submission form on their website as well. There's, like, a Tough Enough webpage where you can go there. But, yeah, a lot of people have been hitting Twitter and Facebook with hashtag Tough Enough and uploading videos. I think it's... The maximum is 60 seconds, 60-second video. You know, I saw one that JXT, Josh Fick, he put up online... yesterday or the day before, and his video was pretty cool, you know, sort of aiming towards what I guess, you know, WWE look for: someone educated, someone fit, someone who's, you know, pushed through the struggle and they're reaching their dream and that sort of thing. And it was you know, sort of it was very well done. But I think it pretty was pretty sure it's as easy as that. Yeah, so
yeah, and this is nothing against anyone that wants to give it a crack. I mean, good
here we go.
I'm just saying it's nothing against the guys that want to give it a crack, and if that's the way you think you can get into the WWE, I'm not gonna hold that against. Go for any chance you can to actually try and make it to your dream. It hasn't exactly brought a hell of a lot of superstars into the fold. Like, it's not a proven commodity when you're gonna get a long career out of it. The longest career that's come out of it Tough Enough has been, well, the Miz won one. So I suppose that there's an example. He already had a foot in, being from MTV and all of that sort of stuff. But the longest aside from that was Josh Matthews. I think Cameron was on the first season, the last season of Tough Enough.
Yes, she was. the lady whose favourite match of all time was Melina versus Alicia Fox.
That's right.
But just let that sink in. Not Shawn versus Brett. Not Ric Flair versus Sting. Not the Macho Man versus, well, anybody, quite frankly. But no. Alicia Fox versus Melina. Just let that sink in, folks.
But what I'm saying is then out of all of the series that they had or seasons that they had, that didn't mean a hell of a lot. I mean, there was, well, I suppose that Tough Enough with Miz brought a couple in, didn't it? Because I think that's where Ryback was in that as well, wasn't he?
Ryback as well, yep. Daniel Pewter was he the winner from that one, I think?
Yeah, he was the winner from that season, but I don't really count him as being a success because he wasn't.
Well, no, he wasn't. He got brutalized at the Rumble, though. That was good fun.
He got taught a lesson at the Rumble.
Oh, those chops are just fucking so brutal. Wow.
So, yeah. But go for it. Go your hardest. If you can get in and if you think that's the way to get your foot in the door, awesome. And if they did it the way they should have done it, with that, like, Andy Levine, who won it last season, if they'd have put him into, like, FCW, I know he failed. Didn't he fail wellness tests and that's why he got let go?
I have no idea. I remember Andy Levine, I remember, was he was in some skit where they introduced him on Raw and it was a big deal. Here comes the winner of Tough Enough. And he comes out there and Vince McMahon's out there and he bitch slapped him across the face and that was it.
I think he did go to developmental for a while.
I think he went to OVW, I think, because they still had a relationship there, like some loose relationship where they sent guys off over there, or it may have been FCW, but he lasted a couple of months, really. Yeah.
But nowadays, because they've got the network and they've got all this deal, if they have the winner, and I don't know, because they might be doing this, if they have the winner of Tough Enough get a job or get a spot on the developmental roster, and then continued the journey, if you will, by following the guy with cameras over the next, say, 12 months to see his progress or he's no progress or something like that. That, to me, would be very interesting.
Hmm.
So, anyway, let's move on. We're talking about WWE way too much.
We've just got a quick question here from Michael Roach, our buddy Michael on the Facebook. Just threw a quick sort of request
on
out
the
there
Facebook. For some questions. Is that right, Granddad?
On the book face, young man.
On the face, I ripped something off the interwebs. They weren't on the YouTube, but it's on the Facebook.
What is ripping? What is ripping? I ripped my pants the other day, but that's just because I've got a big bottom. Anyway, Michael Roach here. Michael Roach asks, with the recent talk of Daniel Bryan's health, as we have here, do you think it may be a good idea for him to retire? From in-ring competition, of course, because as we know, nobody really retires in pro wrestling. But what do you reckon?
Look, if it was neck-related, then you probably have to look at it, but it was a concussion. And they're going to happen. So I don't think he shouldn't retire, but if I'm the office, if speaking from a booking standpoint, I wouldn't want to put a hell of a lot. Even though he's very popular and he's all that, I would give it at least 6 to 8 months of him working on the roster, working in sort of semi-angles before trying to put anything decent behind him. Because you just don't know. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And, like, indie events like what we have, like with, like, like RCW and MCW, and we just do monthly shows, and there's not a hell of a lot of money in promotion behind the guys. But in WWE or, like ROH, and even though that's on a very lesser scale, there's a lot of money that goes into promoting and a lot of money that goes into TV time putting behind these guys. And to do that and not know next week if the guy's out for a month, that's just something. I mean, could you imagine if that had happened to, say, Roman Reigns the week before WrestleMania?
Yep.
That's a hell of a lot of money that they're putting behind. Anyway, so in the short term, no. You, sir, what do you think? Sorry.
Look, I, well, personally, I'd hate to see him retire because it's Daniel Bryan, you know what I mean? We all love to see him wrestle, but, I mean, as we've seen with Edge, you know, with the neck thing, it's probably safer if he does retire. With the concussion side of things, I know you said, well, concussions, they're going to happen. That's true, but we've also seen, and we're seeing now, you know, with all of these years built up from people who've played Gridiron in the States, people that, you know, are in MMA, I'm sure we're going to see it in years to come. Wrestling, we've seen it, the concussions add up, and that's one thing where, you know, if somebody's had three bad concussions, you know, I wouldn't be surprised now if Vince would actually say, hey, yeah, I think we need to look at what you're doing or how you're wrestling, how you're working. Do we need to design a catch title so you can just go out there and wrestle with Shane for 15 minutes? I mean, seriously, it's going to have to get to that point where they're going to have to scale back, you know what I mean? And I think that's why, you know, some people will complain if they go to a house show and say, oh gosh, why do we have a six-man tag, or why do da 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 da, and why do we have a street fight instead of, you know, just two guys going out there and wrestling? Well, it's because if they can use these gimmicks and get around things, they're not going to be taking as many bumps, and they're going to be able to last a bit longer. So it's really tough, you know what I mean? But you know, being a big fan of the guy, if he's going to be in danger of really being severely hurt and putting his long-term health at risk, then he probably should. But
look, if he had a big history of concussions, like say Dolph Ziggler, then I'd be agreeing with you. Like if Dolph gets another big concussion, that I'd be seriously thinking about his career.
And he doesn't slow down. Like, he has not changed the way that he works much at all, really.
No. But, yeah. Anyway. Do we have any more questions, sir? Is that it?
We got one more here from the FNX head honcho, Ryan. Hey, Ryan. Out of wrestlers in the mid-card and below, who is the next big thing? And also, Dovetail here, how do you see wrestling changing over the next 5 years?
Wow. Yeah, I think everyone knows who the next big guys are, really, because everyone watches NXT. Really.
Yeah, but I mean at the same time, though, I mean, there's obviously, of all those guys that are in, and girls that are in NXT, and then also in the mid-card at the moment on Raw and SmackDown, there's always going to be those, you know, three or four that are going to be, you know, going to be in the main event picture, and there's going to be those guys that do end up becoming the, you know, end up becoming the Bo Dallases or the.
Who do you think then?
I think Ambrose is the guy. I think he's one of the ones that could really get up there. But then again,
but see, to me, he's already sort of there. You know what I mean? He's already sort of in that place where, like, if they put him in a main event of a pay-per-view, no one would really say anything about it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's one of those guys that is really in the mid-card, you know. I think what Ryan's sort of asking is who's going to be the guys that are in the main event picture, is in, you're seeing them in world title matches frequently, you know, more than once or twice in a calendar year, that sort of thing, you know, where Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar are at the moment, you know.
Yeah, well,
but I think Dean's got the potential to be that.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, definitely. But then again, I mean, that's sort of a no-brainer. Maybe the same with, if you look at it, with Finn Balor. But then again, Finn Balor really has to maybe work on promos before he can claim that, if you know what I mean.
Here's one that will throw people through a loop. Alex Riley. I think the charisma that he's shown lately and the intensity on camera is just off the chart. And he's really jacked up now as well. Like he's added some muscle. Before he was a good looking dude, sort of had a WWE kind of body, but now he looks the real deal. And I think there's something there with him as a baby face. I really think there's something there with him, but yeah, I don't know. It might be just me.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see it, to be honest with you. Like, I think they ruined him too much, if that makes sense.
To an extent, but also that break that he did have helped in a way.
Do you know what I think you're confusing the reaction you get with an NXT crowd as opposed to the reaction you'll get in the WWE universe, which are two very different things.
I'm not talking about the crowd reaction. I'm just talking about what I see in him when I watch him. It's got nothing to do with that.
I know you're doing that, but I also think you're being influenced with the way the crowd reacts to him.
And how he plays off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going to get that in the WWE. I mean, look at... There's been a number of guys that have made that leap. And when they did, you're like, oh, geez.
If you build them right...
For example, I'll give you two off the bat. Adam Rose.
Okay.
Worked really well in that small arena. Doesn't really work in WWE Universe. And even Emma. And I know maybe she was hamstrung by the whole shoplifting thing. But still. Do you know what I mean?
I totally see what you're saying.
Same thing with... And even though I like the guy and I rate him Tyler Breeze, I don't think that would transfer that much.
I think that you've got room on the main roster for maybe one or two of those type of characters, the flamboyant sort of guys. So you got like Tyler Breeze, and then you might have, you got, say, Fandango, who's already there, Adam Rose, kind of doing the party as sort of, happy.
And, like, those aren't really working.
No, but you still need those novelty characters, in the piss break or at the bottom of the card, you know what I mean? You still need those kind of characters around, A couple of them. Or one of them, at least. So, I didn't expect Adam Rose to be anywhere near the world title picture. I mean, let's put it that way. I never expected that, but I at least expected him to be... I expect him to hang around longer on the main roster, but I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, I still remember all the people going on and on about Fandango when he first started. I mean, fair enough, they put enough steam behind him. They got him a win over Jericho at Mania for his debut match, but then...
So hard to believe that now. Wow. I forgot all about that.
Yeah. When you think about it, people were saying, oh, yeah, he's got Intercontinental Champion written all over, and I was like, I'm sorry, it's not going to work. It's a flash in the pan thing. He's a gimmick that doesn't have legs, unfortunately. So,
the other one here from Ryan was, with Finn Balor, just quickly, I really hope that translates to the larger audience.
I think it will, because it really did in New Japan. If they follow the same sort of, the same entrance style, because even though you didn't understand it, as soon as you saw him coming out, you're like, that dude's a main eventer.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So if they follow that same sort of style, and it's been proven that it works in the Tokyo Dome, and not just Full Sail Academy. So, should we move to ROH, mate? Or unless we got another question?
The other one from Ryan was, where do we see wrestling in 5 years?
That's really hard. You just don't know, do you?
I think the big question that we could sort of maybe we can ask is, okay, do we see that sort of boom period happening again, or are those days pretty much over, where like the Tyson Austin sort of fever, and the Donald Trump, when that angle sort of took place? Like, there was a bit of it with the Rousey thing at Mania, but it was like its ratings spiked for a week, and then it's gone back to where
I mean, it
can
always happen. There's ebbs and flows, let's face it. It could happen again, but you just don't know, do you? To be honest with you, in 5 years, I hope that fans stop being as demanding as what they are. And I know that sounds weird, but I think if the fans just sat back and waited till a story unfolded, and then at the end of it go, I didn't really like that, or that was awesome, I didn't see that coming at all, rather than as soon as something starts going, I can't believe they're doing this, this is bullshit, I'm cancelling my WWE network, this is unbelievable, why would they do this? I mean, Daniel Bryan deserves to be in the world title. I mean, I know he hasn't wrestled for 8 months, but he deserves to be in that spot. Like, do you know what I mean? I just, as much as the fans are the lifeblood of wrestling, they shouldn't, they can dictate where it goes, but they should maybe just sometimes sit in the back seat and enjoy the ride instead of trying to take the wheel. That's the best analogy I can think of. Because I know for a fact, like, you put some stuff out there and people will shit on it to start with, but you know where, from a booking and a performer standpoint, you know where it's going to end. And if you just wait and let us get to that point, you're eventually going to be happy.
Yep.
Or not happy, and then you say, well, that was shit. But, yeah, it's all. That's just my little. And you, sir, what about you?
It's really hard to tell where it's going to be, but I think that, you know, if GFW gets off the ground and there's another competitor, you know, on television, and you know, even things like if New Japan branched out to the point where they've got television or, you know, a show syndicated in everywhere, like even down here in Australia, you know, on 1HD or something. I mean, that'd be rad, you know, if we were privy to see that with the English commentary with Mara Rinaldo and just, you know, Josh Barnett.
Yeah, well, they are starting, aren't they, on Access TV in America?
That's right, yeah, and I've been getting a hold of those shows and they're amazing. So if we get it, you know, if they get sort of,
it is,
if the
it
awareness is
really
is out there more.
It is really amazing the difference of getting that English commentary.
Oh, yeah.
As to your enjoyment of the show.
And even that one-hour show where they've got, like, you know, they've got the promos before the match and they show you what led up to it, and then they... And a one-hour show based around one match, recorded months and months or years ago, it's still one of the best things around, you know, purely because of just how it's presented. It's brilliant. Love it.
But
who knows where it's going to be at? I just think that there's more choice, and I was talking to Benny Coles about this the other day. It's so great that there's so much choice out there. There's something for everybody. If you love lucha, if you love Japanese style, if you want the American style, bloody, it's, you're spoilt for choice at the moment. So it's just a matter of accessing it and getting around it and supporting it, you know. So, and the more that everyone supports all the indie products and goes to the local shows and that, then the more that that's going to get out there, the word's going to get out, you know what I mean? So I think we'll be good. Wrestling will be around, but I don't think we're going to get that boom period, you know, in the mainstream for some time at least. So, no, actually, what we'll do is we might actually run a quick little FNX promo here, and then we'll be back because I need a coffee. So
okay,
we'll be back.
You're the host, so off you go.
I'll be right back. Alright, just a sec.
Hey everyone, I'm Todd Eastman, and every fortnight the Big Ballers and I bring you the Big Ballers Podcast, where we talk NBA news, trades, and anything else related to basketball. We're insightful.
Lance Stephenson, he's going to be, I reckon, an all-star this season.
Serious.
I've got a certain spot to fill, but Miller usually fills it with the D.
Sounds pretty fluent to me.
Nah, that's mean edited.
Professional.
Harrison Barnes. Dude, follow me again. You don't need to unfollow me. I'm sorry for whatever I did.
And most of all, welcoming to new fans.
Anyone that is not a basketball fan, that is all of a sudden a basketball fan looking for a team, this is what I say to you. We don't want you.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, FNX.network, or anywhere you can listen to podcasts. That's the Big Ballers Podcast. Like sitting next to a bunch of guys in the pub who think they know about ball.
This is Jake Johnston with the world's almost finest podcast, reminding you that if you love listening to discussions around movies, TV, video games, comic books, and all kinds of other awesome stuff, then head on over to fnx.network and click on the world's almost finest. Give us a shout out. Let us know what you think. Listen to our episodes. We got plenty on there to go through. The world's almost finest podcast, a proud member of the FNX Network.
Okay, well, it's time of the show where I never thought would come. Enlighten me about what's happening in TNA, mate.
Oh boy, I know that's a bit of a shock to everyone's system. Well, yeah, I caught last week's show, and basically it was centered around a tournament for the tag titles, where the final match on the night was an Ultimate X match for the belts. And yeah, it was you had a heap of qualifying teams. So you had the first match up, it was EC3 and Bram defeating Tigre Uno and Jay Rios. That was a good, you know, solid opener. You had Kenny King and Loki beating Mr. Anderson and Rockstar Spud. And Spud is like a hell of a baby face. Like, just he's really mega get behind him. Oh, so easy to get behind. And that heel run that he had under Dixie, it's hard to believe that, you know, sort of working, being under Dixie Carter in a storyline would actually, you know, alongside it would actually sort of give a rub or really, you know what I mean? Like, it would actually have that sort of effect, but it actually has, because it gave him that extra time in front of the camera. So, it's good.
Was this still in England, or are they back in the Impact Zone now?
This is the Impact Zone, yeah.
Okay.
Good crowd, they were right into it as well, so that sort of helped as well. I don't know if it was the first taping back or not, but, or, you know, these matches were the first ones as part of the taping, but the crowd was really, really into it. So I know from back in the day, I'd watch Impact and they'd record maybe, you know, three or four shows in, you know, over 2 days, and you could just see that crowd after the first week just sort of getting tired and not as into it, and then the one after that. ROH has had the same problem in the past. So you had Matt and Jeff Hardy defeating Koya and James Storm. So they went through to the final match as well. And you had Bobby Roode and Austin Aries defeating Robbie E and Jesse, the Dirty
Heels got back together.
Yeah, that's right. So they got through, and there's sort of some tension there between Robbie E and Jesse. They sort of a bit of a pushing and shoving, and DJ Z comes out there to save them. And I think we're seeing a Jesse Sorensen face turn in the works. So or it's just a big tease, because quite frankly, I think they're a really good team. But if you're going to split one off as a face, you'd go with Jesse. He's got more of the just the baby face look. You know, I think the girls will go nuts over him, you know, once he fully turns. So you got Bobby Roode and Austin Aries going through, and they looked really good as a team, these two out there. And then there was a segment as well with, they had the knockouts, because they've got a knockouts pay-per-view, which I think was recorded a few months back. So
yeah, the one night I had
Yep. So you had a segment there, which was meh. It was nothing much, really. It was a segment. That's right. And then the final match of the tournament, you had Matt and Jeff Hardy defeating EC3 and Bram, Kenny King and Loki, aka the Beatdown Clan, the BDC. I think it's the Beatdown Clan. Yeah, that's it.
Yep, BDC. Yep.
And Bobby Roode and Austin Aries as well. So Matt and Jeff Hardy, new TNA Tag Team Champions. And it was, I just thought it was a really fun show. Like, the main, as I was talking to our buddy Sam about yesterday, was that when they tend to focus on the wrestling and there's minimal angles, minimal backstage segments, it really does benefit the show, because you've got all this talent out there that can go out there and put on rad matches. And this is one of those shows where they just did that, you know, and it was really, really good. So
I reckon I said that to you a while ago. If they just went with a promotion that didn't do storylines and just put matches on, they'd probably be a lot better off.
Yeah, and that's why I was watching this. I was thinking, Toddy, you might actually enjoy this show, because it was exactly what you were talking about, you know, a year or two ago even, you know. It was, so I thought it was a really fun show.
Was there any mention of, like, the world title or the champs and Kurt Angle and that during the show, or was it just all focused on the tag title?
No, there was actually. Kurt Angle came out there, and Eric Young is still sort of trying to pretend to play a badass heel wrestler, and it's crap. It's not working, but
there was sort of... I didn't mind it. I don't mind it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's again, it's Santino trying to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean, that's how I read it, so... But there was a segment where... Basically, Kurt Angle is wanting Eric Young to be the old Eric Young, you know? And that's basically the gist of it. So, Eric Young comes out there and, you know, he sort of basically turns his back to him and says, hey, you know, take a shot, take me down, you know, do your worst. And Eric Young sort of actually backed off, and then there was sort of a little, I guess, a respect thing there and such. So there was that, and then... There's little things that they're doing there with Eric Young. I don't know if he's going to be the next one to get the title match. I must admit, I wasn't actually paying that close attention to the to the angle, but sort of just enough to know what was going down, because it was my first time watching TNA for months as well. So I was just sort of checking it out. And Josh Matthews was commentating on his own with Taz gone. It was just Josh Matthews. Really good.
All right, okay.
Yeah, him on his own, he was really good, you know. There was none of that, none of Taz, you know, just sort of being Taz, I guess. It's Taz. It really was actually, it was listenable, and he got things over, you know what I mean? He was energetic, he called the moves, he let you know what was going on without overshadowing everything, you know. He was just a really good soundtrack. You know,
yeah, for the people at home that didn't know, Taz is no longer with Impact Wrestling, as I think it was he had a couple of checks that didn't clear, or he didn't get paid. His last check didn't clear before he was supposed to get on the plane to go to Nashville to record the commentary. So he just said straight out, "I'm not going. This is a breach of contract." Sort of thing. I think eventually it did clear, but they sort of went their separate ways. So, and from what I hear, like, him and Josh didn't exactly get along. They worked well, like, together as a tag team, a commentary team, but they had a falling out of some description, I'm not too sure. There were rumors going around that Taz was trying to get Mike Tenay back instead of... Because him and Mike Tenay are very good friends. Taz has come out and denied that was part of it. He just said he had a falling out with the guy, and it doesn't mean that they couldn't work together. He wrestled plenty of guys in his life that he didn't like, and they put on great matches. It's the same sort of thing. So, but yeah, a lot of stuff going around about Taz showing up somewhere else soon, but we don't know. Nobody knows what he's going to do.
That was TNA, pretty much. A good show. Check it out if you're...
Did it assuage you to watch it again this week?
Yes.
So you will be checking it out again this week?
Yeah.
So if we do a show in a fortnight, you'll be able to tell me what happened for that fortnight, or for at least the next week?
For at least the next week. I'll give him another week. Hey, let's not get carried away here. Come on. Jesus. But... Yeah, I was very impressed with the show, and if they continue along the same route and, you know, sort of just, again, focus on the wrestling, let the characters get over in the ring because they're bloody great, they all can. Even EC3, I was, you know, I used to think that he was hamming it up too much, he was overacting a bit, and I couldn't believe him. Well, there's still a bit of that to an extent, but he... And there was a segment I saw on the... I actually had a look at on YouTube. There was the British Boot Camp series with Grado from a couple of months back. And there was a segment there where he just... As soon as he walked in the room, or towards ringside where they're all lined up, and he's looking them all down, and he's sort of just like... He came across as such a star, and especially on this show as well. And I can't remember who he was referencing, but he ended up spitting out a line from The Wedding Singer where he's like, "I'm driving him crazy," or "He's losing his mind, and I'm reaping all the benefits." And I just thought it was hilarious. The delivery was perfect. And just things like that. He's really turned the corner with me, that the presentation of him with his entrance and everything. I think he's better than I gave him credit for before, I think. Definitely.
Yeah. See, so, I'm gonna take, because I've been behind him for a while now. I think if you look back on previous episodes, I think the one we did with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I repped EC3 pretty hardcore, and the fact that it was the last time I watched Impact, because I have been fairly flat out, so I haven't had a chance to catch it a hell of a lot. I saw that Drew McIntyre had Camacho and another guy from NXT as his part of his stable sort of thing, and I'm really excited to see if Camacho can actually get a break. I can't remember what his name is now, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a good worker. He's really solid in the ring. He's good.
Yeah, well, I'm a massive fan of Haku, so I was a massive fan of him in, like, FC Dub.
Yep.
But then when WWE really dropped the ball with him by making him Mexican. Just to throw it back to WWE for a second, have you been enjoying the little interstitials and little bits that the primetime players have been doing?
Yeah, I saw them on this week's show, and it was quite funny. I love I love the T-shirt, the primetime players take on the primetime wrestling logo.
Yeah.
That's freaking great. That's a great T-shirt.
I'm going to put it out there, and I'll do it again to Sean. Sean, you know Titus. Titus also follows me on Twitter, and I put it out to him. Tell your boy to shave the beard, because he can't grow it. Those little bits on the sides just don't grow in. Shave the whole damn thing. Have a goatee and have sideburns. Don't try and grow that. It just looks terrible. And I don't want to be stereotypical, but you're a gay dude and they're supposed to have taste.
Oh.
I said I don't want to be.
No, just by saying that he doesn't have taste. I just thought...
No respect. No disrespect, I'm saying. But, like, yeah, that it is a shocking beard. I don't know whether to follow him as a wrestler or give him a tip.
Oh.
He looks like he should be begging for food when you've got a beard like that. He looks like he was stuck on an island for 6 months. Please go and check. You know what I'm talking about, though, don't you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I didn't realize beard. That it would be such a contentious issue. The beard on Darren Young.
It shits me to tears. I look at it and go, like, make a decision, dude. Surely your friends are telling you, look, that's not working for you, bro.
I bet you love Sheamus' new look.
I like the haircut, not so much the
braided beard.
Yeah, not so much that. I like the different the mohawk though, and it was good because I think everyone was convinced the dude had shaved his head completely. Because remember with all the interviews and stuff, he always had that cap on, so you couldn't actually tell what happened. It looked like he was bald.
I think it's a good look. I don't mind it.
So no, I don't mind. Like, I really like his entrance music now.
It's better than it was.
Yeah. No more definitely. Lobster head.
It's just a bit more badass. So.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. We've got one quick story from Lucha Underground. And it involves Aussie, so I'm gonna bring it up.
Lucha Underground.
In the Ultimo Lucha season finale. The promotion brought in Aussie Michael Chiavello from Axis Fights to provide commentary with Matt Stryker. Vampiro was making his in-ring return, continuing a program with Pentagon Jr. So get ready for those. I hope that hasn't spoiled anything for everyone. That will likely extend into Season 2 if it happens. Also, if Season 2 happens, expect Rey Mysterio to be their main storyline wrestler. He was backstage for the finale.
Oh, who's that? You cut out there.
Rey Mysterio.
Oh, okay.
He will be there as a main wrestler in the storylines. He was backstage for the finale, but didn't appear on camera. Whether or not that means he might be showing up in a promo or something, because I wouldn't surprise the way they do their cinematic promos. It wouldn't be surprised if he was back there filming for that. But there was no reports of that, so I'm not going to go ahead and say that that's what happened. But it wouldn't surprise me. But we have. In one of the bigger promotions, well, trying to be one of the bigger promotions in America right now, an Aussie commentator.
which is very cool. And Michael Chiavello's a massive pro wrestling fan. He's on his show, Michael Chiavello Versus, or The Voice Versus. He's had Hulk Hogan on and whatnot. Like, he's a massive wrestling fan.
Yeah, so, really good interviews with him and Stone Cold.
Yes, the Stone Cold one as well, yeah. So, I'm all for it. And I think if you got him and Mauro Ranallo both together calling a show, holy shit. That'd be the best call I think you'd hear all year, because those two, especially Michael Chiavello, he pulls those catchphrases just from out of nowhere. He's got like a bank of hilarious catchphrases for any situation in an MMA fight, at least. So it'd be cool to hear him doing his thing over pro wrestling. Like, holy shit, that'd be cool.
So yes, I think that's all we have, sir.
Very well then. Yeah, I think we'll move on. I think we'll skip NXT because let's face it, everyone who's watching NXT, everyone knows what's happening there. It's a great show. Besides Dana Brooke, she's useless. But yeah, besides that, NXT, fun show. I think we should get into Toddy's question of the day.
Oh, hello. I got some questions, dude. I got
an accent. So many questions.
Answer my question!
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question.
I'm asking the fucking questions here, private.
The question, jerk!
Questions, questions, too many questions.
All right, my question of the day to you, sir, and I think this is a topic that has been argued somewhat ferociously on Facebook about spoilers.
Ah, here we go. Here we go.
See, I know this is a bugbear of yours, and you and I have very different opinions on it.
All right, let's get it out there then. Okay. What is the question of the day pertaining to spoilers?
When is it appropriate to be able to talk about a card
on social media or
yes on
the
social
phone
media?
Or...
No, you know exactly what I mean, smartass.
All right.
I mean on your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Instagrams. When do you think it's appropriate to talk about the show and not spoil it for others, say? And I know you can say, and I know your argument is just stay off social media. But
yeah, that is. That's it. That's my argument. Done. Dusted.
A lot of times it's impossible for some people to have to do that because a lot of people nowadays use, say, Facebook as like a tool with their work.
Then, unfortunately, that's the chance that you take. I mean, you know, if you are subscribed to pages such as NXT and pages such as the WWE official page and whichever promotion it is that you're trying to avoid spoilers from, pretty much as soon as things happen, they're going to be posting about it on their page themselves. And the chances are that 99.9% of wrestling fans that are on Facebook do like the WWE's main page, do like the NXT page, Ring of Honor, whichever promotions they're following.
I like the pages, but I unsubscribe or I block the things for the days. I'm talking about like friends. Because if you're smart, you're going to block WWE. I mean, let's face it, basically WWE's and NXT are the ones we're talking about here because they're really the only things that we watch live or that we could watch live.
I think if it just that's the chance that you take, that's the chance that you take. I mean, it's, you know, that's the exact same thing as the AFL Grand Final. Now, let's just say it's AFL Grand Final Day or Super Bowl Day or whatever your favourite sport is. It's the big day, right?
Yep.
Now, especially if it's in Australia here, the AFL Grand Final or NRL, A-League, something like that. Now, as soon as it happens, the results are going to be all over the news. They're going to be all over every news broadcast, all over television, radio, you name it, right? Your phone, yes. It's going to come up on your news feed, on your Blink feed, your, you know, homepage, whatever it is. Now, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to call up the radio station? Hey, look, you know, I haven't seen the game yet. I've taped it. Do you mind not telling me what the bloody results are? No, because that's just the way it goes. So it's no different to any other sport, any other form of media out there. it's just, it's the chance that you take. And if you turn on your telly and you see the results, well, that's too bad for you, because you should have put it straight on the AV setting, ready to watch your videotape far out. Like, go get out the Betamax, you know. Get out your bloody PVR, DVR. If you don't do that first, well, that's your fault. That's your fault. And I've done it before. There's been times when there's UFC fights and I've really been wanting to see the fight. And sure enough, I open up Facebook and what do? Bang, I see the result. And I'm like, oh, Josh, you dickhead. You just ruined it for yourself. Because I went on Facebook. I'm subscribed to the UFC page. Okay. Saw the result. Stiff shit. There's also friends that we have that watch UFC shows and they'll be at the pub, yourself included. Go there and you'll be putting up stuff about it. Cool.
Yeah.
No worries. If I put went up on Facebook it, and I saw never... that...
I never actually say who won a fight. I never actually say, I will say that was an awesome knockout or what a fight those two guys gave it all, deserved winner. I never actually spoil it and say who it is. And if I was going to do that, I would put the word spoiler and at least like hit return 3 or 4 times so I know it's off the page. My argument with you is right. You put forward the grand final as a hypothesis.
Example.
As an example. Grand finals on a Saturday or a Sunday, depending on... Now, it's a fair bet that at least 80 to 90% of people aren't at work that day, correct?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Now, every WWE pay-per-view is on a Monday. And because of where we are in the geographical region, it's on during the day where most people are at work. So I'm saying the actual availability of people to watch it is completely different.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's, you know, everybody has contacts on social media that are outside of where they live. They will be overseas, for instance. So if these people are watching at the same time you are, or not even that, you know, I just think it's a matter of...
Private message them.
Oh, God.
I'm saying...
Group message to 100-odd folks from overseas.
I've got messages like that. I've got a chat with all my friends that are overseas that if I wanted to, I can go on there and go, did you see that match? That was fucking awesome. Blah, blah, blah. John Cena, hustle, loyalty, and respect. Shout out to Wendy's there for that one. That's what I do because I don't want to do that spoiler. I'll say that was a great match or those two are friggin' insane or I can't believe that blah, blah did that shit. I won't actually say what it was, but there's a little... You know what I mean? I don't go straight out and I would never post a photo of a dude holding up a title going, awesome, blah, blah, won the world title.
Well, put it this way, if you don't like it, unsubscribe to the person, to me, I don't give a shit, really, because at the end of the day, what somebody puts on their own social media page, you know, unless it's racist, sexist, fucking homophobic, or just outright being a cunt to people, there I said it, you know, it's, just get over it. If you have to use it for your work, I understand that, but at the same time, you know, come on. Like, seriously,
I'm saying hit spoiler alert. Like, spoiler alert it, hit fucking 4 or 5 returns, then write what you want to write. Spoiler alert for blah, blah. Then write what you want to write. I'm just, like, don't straight out there, just go out there and say, blah, blah, won the match. Awesome.
And I've done it in the past. I've done the whole spoiler, blah, 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 and then done that. But there's times when I haven't. And if you don't, well, you know,
shit,
it's not
mate.
The end of the bloody
That's
world.
It's shit, mate. You are a shit,
No, well, it's not that at all.
I'm interested to see what other people think, so we'll maybe comment on it, maybe put a thread up there on our Facebook page, mate, and we'll see what other people feel on the subject.
Alrighty.
So I think this is a debate that we can go further on and maybe get other people in on it, because I'm interested to have other people's opinions on it. Because I just think that, and I'll say straight out, from where we are geographically... I think it's important, just for the fact that everyone's got to work. Well, most people have to work. And
I totally get that. I totally get it. But at the same time, you can't you know, it's getting beyond a joke now when you have to worry about other people, you know, of what you put on your page. You know, if I was sitting there and I was posting it onto your timeline, for instance, or if I was messaging you the spoiler results, you know what I mean? That's something completely different. But I think when you're copping a heap of shit for things that you put on your page, that's when you go like, okay, this is just getting beyond a joke here. Like, seriously. If it's that important to you, just unsubscribe to everyone you know that, you know what I mean?
If you're putting it out there for the public to read, don't have your nose out of joint when the public say they don't want it, they don't like what you put up there. That's another side of the coin.
But that's the thing of it. If we did that with everything in social media, I mean, hey, we'd be fucked. So.
We do. That's what I mean. Everybody puts what they want and people have their say. People can say, I think that's shit or that's cool.
Oh yeah, but that's the thing is that if I put that out there, I'm not putting it out there to piss people off. I'm not putting it out there going, oh fucking this, hey, here's the spoilers for everybody. Oh, this is going to piss some people off. Oh, gee, this is going to ruin someone's day. That's not why I do it. That's not why I've done it in the past. But it's not. That's the thing is that that's the way it's being perceived. Is that you're being a shit stirrer, and it's not. It's no. I'm just putting this on my social media outlet. If I haven't put spoiler alert, well, bugger me. You know what I mean? Like.
Shit, mate. That's what I'm just saying.
Hashtag shit, mate.
Shit, mate.
So that's the crux of it. It's not to piss anyone off. It's just if I didn't put spoiler alert or someone doesn't put, hey, warning, well, just okay, too
anyway,
bad.
Put it up on our Facebook page and we'll maybe talk about it next time we get together in 6 months.
Right, for the next listeners choice awards night, listeners award, the one yes. Where we get drunk and shit. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so that was question of the day.
That was question of the day.
Yes, and now it's time for Big Baller, No Baller. Oh wait, hang on.
No balls.
Do we have a WWE Law and Order?
My Big Baller of the week, just to piss LJ off. Kyle Korver. That's good something times. That only people that would listen to that show would know about.
Just quickly on a bit of a basketball talk before we wrap it up, I saw the I Hate Christian Laettner ESPN special. God, that was good.
Yeah, it was really good, wasn't it?
Oh man, that was so cool. When you find out the backstory of everything that happened at Duke and all that sort of thing, and you know, it blew my mind when I was a kid as well, because that was just when I was getting into NBA, and I'm like, Christian Laettner is on the Dream Team. Like, I've never heard of Christian over here. You didn't really get to follow college ball. So I was just like, what's this young white guy doing with Michael Jordan and Larry Bird? I'm like, what the hell? You know, it was out there, but I didn't realize how much he stirred up his, you know, even his own teammates. Like,
yeah, crazy. That's the thing. Like, when I was a kid, it was like. Like, Michael Jordan was the shit. So, what college did Michael go to? And, like, because I'm a Laker fan, James Worthy went to UNC as well. So, for me, it was North Carolina was the team that I loved. Now, I think if we had more access to the college ball back in the day, I probably would have ended up being a Duke fan just by the way they were the bad boys. And they were, you know what I mean?
Christian Laettner being the Bill Laimbeer of NCAA basketball.
He really was, yeah. So, but yes, that was an awesome. He was, in every sense of the word, a heel.
Now, I'm going to throw it out there to you, Toddy, on the show, so there's actually a record of this. I'm inviting you on to not Big Ballers. Obviously, you're going to invite yourself onto that because it's your show. Yeah. Butts in Seats podcast covering WCW in 1998. I believe we have a Dennis Rodman appearance coming up soon on pay-per-view. Are you keen to sit in with me and Frankie and review that?
Why would you make me watch that again?
98's been brutal, dude, and I think it's time that you cop some of the punishment as well.
Yeah, well, tell me what the card is, and I'll watch the card, and as long as it's a week where I can actually, because you know my schedule, I'm fairly jam-packed during the week. As long as it's a day where I can, or a night where I can have it free, I would definitely get on there and talk
talk some wrestling.
Well, we'll try and line that up with Frankie over there in GA, good old Georgia, and we'll suss that out. Because I know there's a Rodman appearance coming up very soon, and I think you'd be the right guy to shed some light on that show as well. I think yes, that'll be coming up in the future. Good time. So do we have anything else here to talk wrestling wise? We don't have birthdays, we don't really have anything anything of the sort there, so
do you this shows how long it's been since I've actually got a chance to listen to the damn show. Do you still do the Aussie dates and everything?
Not particularly, no. We like to sort of direct everybody to Australian Indie Wrestling on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling for the schedule and the event calendar, podcast photos, videos, all that good stuff over there. So
awesome.
There's the plug out the way.
Okay. Should we maybe bring up, we won't mention the promotion that was mentioned, but bring up the person or the people that like messaged us today.
Yeah, why not?
Yes. Would you like to take the helm on this, mate?
Oh, well, we received a message here at the Wrestle Radio Australia Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestleRadioAustralia, and fuck it, I'm going to call him out, Kevin Powell.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. Hey, he went there, I'm going to go there too, buddy. He goes, how come this page does not promote any... No, I won't say the promotion because I don't want to get them in the shit. But so he says, how come your page does not promote any... blah, 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 wrestling events. Because you're useless, that's why you can't even reply back message. What was the...
Hang on. No, that's exactly what it was, but I'll give you a quick synopsis here of the timeline. Now, the dude messaged on... We're recording this on the 23rd of April at 3:13, okay? Yeah. So he messaged, how come the page does not promote any... this promotion here, events... at 3:17, so he gave us 4 minutes to reply. Because you're useless, that's why you can't even reply back to a simple message.
Now, so that's in the same message there. I thought that was two separate messages.
It was two separate messages.
One message, rather, but it was two separate.
No, okay, two separate messages. He gave us 4 minutes, so he had plenty of time to give him a good answer there in 4 minutes. Now, I just left work, and I saw both these messages back-to-back. So I was, and I'd had a rough day at work. Let's just say that. So at 2 minutes after that, at 3:19, I wrote, "You messaged just 5 minutes ago, and you want to you want a response right away. How can you be that needy?" Then I wrote, "If they'd like us to promote them, then they will hit us up and let us know what that's what other promotions do." And they do. A lot of guys will hit us up and go, look, we've got a show, or I'd like to come on and talk about this. And we say, cool, we'll find, blah, blah, blah. And the only guy's response is, well, you did see the message and it's not a hard answer. No, I gave him an answer, but he didn't really respond anything off that, because obviously I think the guy's a little, yeah.
A few nuggets short of a happy meal, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's probably a different bus that takes him to school.
Look, shout out to Luke Santa Maria. Hope you're enjoying the show, buddy. And I've had this as well, being a moderator and a person who sort of helps out with the Australian Indie Wrestling page, which I just gave a plug to earlier, and help out Tez and Ree and all the crew over there, Brian, Jay, and... we had the same thing a couple of weeks ago where somebody messages us and just says, you know, like sends results from a show and then says there was some issue there with how it was posted, how Tez posted it. And this chick just wrote, you'll post it how I say, you know, or how I tell you to. And I just... Tez is a nice guy. He doesn't want to upset anyone, you know what I mean? And I fired back, because I just, hey, we sit here and we do this stuff. We don't get paid, you know, we do it because we love it, as, you know, most podcasters do. But as far as us, you know, promoting, and hey, there are radio shows that cover their own promotion and that's it. And that, funnily enough, is actually the same radio show that they promote a particular promotion, which is related to this particular clown that that messaged our Facebook page. We're an avenue for promotion. Now, as far as I'm concerned, in indie wrestling, especially in Australia, you should be fucking grateful for any promotion that is out there for Australian wrestling in general, whether it's your promotion or not. You know, so we sit here, we're from Riot City Wrestling, we participate on their shows, we help out with Wrestle Rampage, we'll bloody help out with any promotion around Australia that we think is doing a good thing by the scene, putting on good shows for people, and they've got good
Please
talent.
Don't say scene.
The dirty S word, right?
I fucking hate that.
The circuit, the circuit.
The industry.
The industry, the business. It's the business, baby. No, I'm saying. And I just think, hey, you know, if you want to sit here and have a go at us, then, hey, we won't promote your promotion or whoever you're sitting there apparently representing.
Well, I don't even think he represents him. I think he's just...
But it's the thing is, somebody is they are representing them when they message somebody like us or whoever it is and say, why aren't you doing this, blah, 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 and then getting narky about it. They are representing their fan base at the same time. And so
I'm not going to tar a whole fan base, and I'm the biggest asshole around. You can ask anyone, you'll know. But I'm not going to tar a fan base by one idiot.
But that's the thing is, I'm assuming he's a fan. What says he isn't a trainee at the promotion? Yeah. What says he isn't working behind the scenes in some capacity? So for you to do that and go out there, others think, oh, hey, man, nah. You know what I mean? Like, you can get stuff now, for one, and for two, you know, like, hey, we do this because we love it, not because, you know.
If he is part of the promotion, he's a bit of an idiot, because anyone that knows Australian wrestling knows how small the community is, and mm-hmm. somebody knows somebody who's involved in something else there, and it won't take long to get back to the people. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could say something about a promotion up in Queensland, and I'm willing to bet within a day I'm going to hear back from it.
That's it. That's the thing is that our show has always been centered more around being positive, you know, about what's happening down here in Australia and trying to grow it. And, you know, then you get clowns like that who are just don't have a clue, you know what I mean? They don't understand what we're about, and, you know, they've probably seen a post or found an episode that's, you know, about a different promotion in their state, and they've just sort of arced up and gone, oh, what's this? Well, actually, we help out everyone. We you know, that's what we're here for. So I just find it quite funny. So, yeah, that's basically the crux of it, is that we're here to help promote it, grow it, do good things. But if you're going to be a dickhead, see you later. We don't want to know you. End of story. That's about it.
But yes, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. To you, mate, though, you're a dickhead. I'm just going to say it right. You're a dickhead.
I hope he's listening.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh, he wouldn't know how to work
it. Oh, jeez.
He wouldn't know how to work an iTunes machine.
The iTunes machine? Who's sounding old now? Jesus, the iTunes machine.
I'm pretty sure that's what he'd call it. As he pour away at it, just... Why not play noise?
Oh, what the Cena podcast? We're Cena podcast. Anyway, that's really cruel.
Bit of Hill Eastman coming out there. I try and put him away for these shows.
He's always lurking. He's always lurking there.
Yes.
No worries.
We'll be on an hour tops, I believe.
We'll go for an hour. Why not? We'll just do a solid hour and then we'll be out. Mm. Yeah, right. Said us never. Oh boy. Alrighty, well, I guess we'll leave it right there. Thanks, Todd, for having a yak.
No, it was very good to catch up again and talk some wrestling.
And get your plugs out of the way, dude. Anything that's coming up on Big Ballers and all that sort of stuff, RCW?
We are knee-deep in the NBA playoffs. As we speak, we did our first round preview last week, and as soon as the first round's over, we'll be doing a review and a preview of the next round coming up. That is, if you're on Twitter, at BigBallersPodcast, and Facebook, just look up Big Ballers Podcast. We're all over there. We are absolutely killing it at the moment for the likes. We got had an absolute explosion this week, so doing quite well. I have to thank our boy Miller for that, and he's our social network guru as it comes to that. RC Dub, is it May the 8th, I believe?
May 9th.
Down you as one of those. May 9th at the Latvian Hall, we have Rites of Passage. The main event is Big Brody Marshall taking on Nick Armstrong for the RCW title. So that should be an interesting match, being that the way that Brody's attitude has changed as of recently. I'm not too sure who my man World Class has, but I know it will not be Adam Brooks, as there is a restraining order against him. So, it's an unsafe working environment having like two animals like him and Kelly and English lurking backstage ready to attack at any time. And I for one, will not put my client in that dangerous as a position. So we've taken out the restraining order. But yes, we're fighting anyone else but Adam Brooks, because of course there was a restraining order. Yeah.
And the week before, also May 2nd at Wrestle Rampage, we've got Slater v. Basso 2 happening there. And are you going to be accompanying Chris Basso to ringside, or do you want to divulge that, or what's the going there?
No, he has asked me to accompany him for moral support, because he is going into the Billy the Beast. I'll be there to watch him all by himself, with no help from anyone, beat Damian Slater once again.
Yes.
And prove that he is indeed world class, because that's what he is. So that would be
He did that completely on his own with no help whatsoever. No, right?
Exactly right, because he's a world class athlete, one of the best in this country.
Yeah, I'm not disputing that. Just saying, you know, there's what. Never mind.
I couldn't have helped him. I was outside after being accidentally struck by my client. How could have I helped him when I was clearly in pain on the floor? That's right, silence, because I was right.
There's no point trying, so just I won't even bother. But also at Wrestle Rampage, Wrecking Ball Wilson is going to be challenging Jonah Rock, member of TMDK, for the Australian National Championship. So that's going to be two big balls just going at it. That'll be rad. And Wrecking Ball Wilson, he's one of my favourites at Wrestle Rampage. He's been the way that he's evolved and sort of come up through the years, really cool. So good to see him getting a shot at the big one.
Yeah, and Jonah Rock, love the way he works, love the way he operates.
Yeah, rarely has a bad match these days. So.
Yeah, and as much as I love the guy, shouldn't be still in this country wrestling.
Yeah, I know, right? He's world class even.
No, well, let's not go that far. <But he's>... He is definitely, he is one of the best wrestlers I've actually watched live. One of the most believable wrestlers I've watched live, so there you go.
Yeah, totally. So, Wrestle Rampage, RCW in Adelaide coming up, and then for all your other events around Western Australia and Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, even Tassie, check out facebook.com/Australian Indie Wrestling, and if you're going to send us a message there, be nice, because then you'll get what you want. Hashtag don't be a dick.
Exactly right. Unless you're me, and then you're allowed to.
Well, that's my thing. It's your thang.
It's kind of my gimmick.
Ain't no thang but a chicken wang and East Man being a prick. There you go.
Yeah. All right. And the music. Let's get out of here.
Let's bail. Thanks for checking this one out, folks. So I said, that's the start of the show. We're in a bit old school. So in a different format, the old format. So, thanks for sussing it out. And if you want to hear more and hear great interviews with some of Australia's best pro wrestling personalities, plus, you know, celebrities like Santa Chilaro, Brian Alvarez, and whatnot, check out our YouTube channel, plus this very feed. Make sure you do subscribe to it. On Twitter, at WrestleRadioAU. On Facebook, just search Wrestle Radio Australia. You'll find the page. Give us a like. And also, there's the group. so you can join us there and have a chat. We'll let you know when we're going to be having guests on, so you can ask them some questions and whatnot. And also, if you want to hear more of me, not Big Ballers, that's the second time I've done that.
Stop trying to do that, bro. So taking over every fucking show. Stop it.
It's the killer bees. All the bees around. Butts in seats. There it is. I nearly did it again. I had to think about it for a second. Butts in Seats podcast reviewing WCW pay-per-views from the dying years. It was brutal for us to watch them, but it's fun for you guys to have a listen to us pulling them apart. So check that out in Social Audio Think Tank for all the podcasters out there or podcasters to be. If you want some, just want to hear some tips and discussion and just sort of a couple of guys throwing ideas around, there's me and Josh over there and the earlier episodes with Josh and Jackson. Good stuff. And another Aussie-made podcast. So, yeah, good time.
I will actually say you do produce the Big Ballers podcast. You do a great job for it. You're the other one that actually makes us sound like we somewhat know what we're talking about. So I'll say thank you for that right there.
Ah, no worries, dude. I do what I can.
Shit, mate. Good producer.
I'll cop that. I'm fine with that. So that's all good. And yeah, let's get out of here. Thanks, Thunderstag, for the awesome theme music. Dane Davies, the Flipmaster, for your main logo on our cover art. And of course, FNX.network. How can we forget FNX.network? Go over there, check out Big Ballers, this show, and other great content. But as always, Todd Eastman, yeah, I've already thanked you, but we'll do that again. Thank you for returning.
No, it was good being on your show.
And until next time, that's it. I want to thank you for listening. My name's Josh Armour, and this has been Australia's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia.
So now that I'm not a host, do I get an interview show once?
I'm thinking of doing that soon. We should,
really?
I'm actually thinking of interviewing you.
Oh,
and
God.
And then you interview me, like, the next week or something.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.